I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I returned home 4 days ago, and the second time I have been hit by what I call the Aussie bug. And today I still bear the consequences of that infection. The medication that has been given to me has, I would say, caused a complete, almost complete dysfunction of my speaking apparatus. So I try my best. Turn to the Word of God now for today's lesson. In the Gospel according to St. Mark, the last chapter, and I've chosen it especially for the lessons it contains, relevant to our needs. The gospel record of the resurrection of Jesus is in all the gospels. However, this one has got certain applications. Mark's Gospel 16:1. When the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the other Mary, mother of James and Salome, had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. Pause and think. Here are two ladies who, because of great devotion to the Lord and remembering him, came early that Sunday morning. The lesson here is, if these ladies woke up very early, this is the end of the Sabbath. Remember that there's the Jewish Sabbath was the Saturday. And so this verse we are talking is the end of that Sabbath day. And during Sabbath, there is an embargo on travel. However, these two ladies, particularly Mary Magdalene, had been delivered from 7 devils or demons. Oh, what a salvation and release it was, and she never forgot it. Dear friends, how is your devotion to the Lord Jesus? I notice there is improvement in coming early, and very few nowadays come late. Is that a sign of devotion or just because of constant nagging? Dear friends, Mary Magdalene was rewarded, and so shall we, for our devotion to the Lord, to remember how great a sacrifice he went through. We are here to remember and to celebrate that Jesus rose from the dead, you know, an event greater than creation. For in creation, God merely spoke, and by the word of his breath, the creation was completed. In the case of Jesus, it cost the life the suffering and insult and injury to the Son of God, to be manhandled, scourged and treated as the lowest of low criminals. Now on this day, we're going to witness the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the high point in the Christian calendar. How well do we remember it? Oh, dear friends, Mary Magdalene was rewarded that day because Jesus appeared first to her. You may ask, why not the 11 disciples? Why not the others? Why this woman? Because she had that intense love and devotion. We should pray and cultivate that kind of devotion for all that our Lord has done. Verse 2. Very early in the morning, the first day of the week, these two ladies came to the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. You notice that in the last verse of the previous chapter, and I read it for you, verse 47, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary beheld where Jesus was laid. Is this significant? Oh yes, dear friends. They wanted to make very sure the morning of the first day that they will not come to the wrong tomb. So they observed. Oh, my friends, learn from Mary Magdalene. Whereas many disciples had fled away, including those who had sworn, such as Peter. Peter said to the Lord Jesus Christ, "You don't know me yet. I will go with you to prison, even to the death." And within a short time, he was cursing when two young ladies asked, "Hey, you, are you not the follower of Jesus?" He denied vehemently with a curse, "I don't know him." Oh, dear friends, he said, what happened? What happened to Peter? Brave in the mouth, but a coward at the heart. Here was Mary observing who came to bury Jesus, do you know? Look at the previous chapter. And we are enlightened here. Verse 43. Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, a member of the ruling council, a very high official, and a secret believer. In certain circumstances, it would have been necessary to be a secret believer. I learned that in Malaysia, there are substantial numbers of Malay believers who dare not openly believe in Jesus because of the intense reaction that might arise. Here is a case in point. Joseph Arimathea believed but dare not show it because of consequences. But in the moment of crisis, he revealed himself. He went straight to Pilate and begged for the body of Jesus. The devotion at that time is to the body of Jesus. That's all they could do. And God rewarded Mary Magdalene, who watched until Jesus' body was buried. Verse 2 tells us the sun was barely risen. So you can imagine it was a cold morning as well as a dark morning, which found these two ladies coming to the sepulchre that they had identified. Therein is the point I'm making, trying to make, that because of their devotion, they came the Friday night to observe how Jesus' body was disposed of. Into the grave. They marked the grave. And on Sunday morning early they came. At the rising of the sun, it says here, verse 2. Verse 3. Now they had a great concern. It is interesting to follow the movements of these two ladies. Verse 3 says, they said among themselves, who shall roll away the stone which was covering or obstructing the door of the grave? Now here in Singapore, we do not have such a burial process. But among the Jews, there are two ways. One is a hole in the earth, the body goes in. The other, which we see, when we go on tour to the Garden Tomb, Jerusalem, it is a hole in the side of the mountain or the hill. And it is carved out from that solid rock. And inside there is a little chamber. Can you imagine? A little chamber enough for someone to get in. For the mourners and the people who are involved in burying the body, they can go in. And there is a slab where the body is put. And the body is embalmed and wrapped in linen clothes. Now this was a custom that we do not see in Singapore. Nevertheless, we find these two ladies there. And they said, oh, who is going to open the door for us? Now, it is not easy. You think it is a piece of stone you can just push aside. It weighs 2 tons. And so it was a physical problem. And to them, it was a big question mark. Verse 4. When they looked, amazing, as it came in the gloom, lo and behold, the stone was rolled away. Who's done it? Amazing. Verse 5. And entering into the sepulchre, into this chamber, meeting their eyes was a sight they will never, never forget. Amazing. The slab is empty. No body on that stone slab. And the grave clothes folded together in two places. The napkin around the head was put at the head end, and the winding sheet that went round and around the body was lower down on the same slab. Amazing. And the grave was open. Now this is a surprise and a shock. Verse 5 says, and entering they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment. They were frightened. Verse 6. And this young man, by now you all will guess, was an angel, a messenger sent from God in heaven to come and look and to see and to supervise the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus was not there. Verse 6. And he said to the ladies, be not afraid. He said, Jesus, I know, who was crucified, he is risen. Oh, the most glorious words that can ever be heard over the tomb of Jesus Christ. Announcement, listen. You're looking for the body, I'm telling you. Jesus is risen. Come and see the place where they laid him. Now verse 7 is a verse full of compassion, comfort and assurance. What does verse 7 say to you? Go your way. Tell his disciples. Now here is the word of forgiveness and compassion. The next two words in verse 7. And Peter. The angel had a special message to these two ladies. Go and tell the disciples and Peter. Dearly beloved, do you not catch the sense of these two words? Why the two words? There were 11 apostles. Why Peter? Do you connect the two things together? Peter was the one outstanding among the 12 who swore. Firstly, to Jesus, it says, Lord, I'll never forsake you. Even to the death, I'll go with you. And the next moment, he says, I don't know that fellow. Now comes the forgiveness. Oh, what a wonderful, compassionate Savior we have. Jesus not only went to the cross to bear your sins and mine, including the sins of Peter and the rest of the disciples. Now, in giving the message to Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, through the angel, tell the disciples and Peter. Oh, dear friends, when this was reported, can you imagine the kind of relief and blessing and comfort received by Peter more than any of the other disciples? All because of what? Not because of his loyalty to Jesus. Far from it. But because Jesus loved him. And as he loves us even. Despite his disloyalty, Jesus says, tell Peter. Oh, my friends, Those two words were full of meaning, full of compassion. Peter, you have denied me three times. I have forgiven you. Because I know you are weak in the flesh, and many times you speak, letting your tongue run faster than your brain. There are some people like that. And easily will say words that they cannot perform. Peter, your sins are forgiven. And he says, Jesus has gone before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Verse 9, and now when Jesus was risen, early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene. You say, why on earth to this unknown woman? Why Mary Magdalene? Out of whom he had cast seven demons. So here was a demonstration of devotion and consideration. Verse 10. Then she went and told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept. Who are these people? The disciples. Perchance it could have been one of us. One of the 11 disciples. Now you read in John's gospel record, there it is very clear. 11 disciples were together except one, minus Thomas. When Jesus appeared, 10 only, and they were amazed because they did not expect to see Jesus. They were in a closed door, probably locked for security. Nevertheless, Jesus, the risen Christ, has power to penetrate closed doors into any chamber. And he appeared in the midst of the 10 and said, peace be to you. Except one person not there, Thomas. Verse 11, and they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. Now this, believed not, these two words, has tremendous reflection on the faith of the disciples. Do you know that before the event, Jesus had oftentimes told the disciples, I will die for you. And Peter at that time says, not at all, Jesus. Far be it from you. How can you die? You are a leader. And what did Jesus say to him? Get thee behind me, Satan. Yes. God had a plan. That plan is my own son will be the sacrifice. So he did. Now, on the third day, God honored him and vindicated his sacrifice for you and for me. But when Mary Magdalene told the news to the 10 disciples, they did not believe. Verse 12. After that, he appeared in another form to the two and walked together with them to the village of Emmaus. This is recorded in Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. Verse 13, and they went and told it unto the rest of the disciples, neither believed they them. Oh, dear friends, what a sad thing it is. I could ask you this same question. Do you believe? Do you know that today the modern church is in a flux? Some members believe, some don't, including pastors and bishops. They don't believe Jesus ever rose from the dead. Do you? Honestly? Oh, my friends, depending on your belief in the risen Christ is a measure of your faith. Pray. Pray that you truly and wholeheartedly believe and embrace that doctrine. For if Christ had not risen from the dead, we are still dead in our own sins. For his death would have been ineffective. But praise God, he rose for our justification, for the cancelling away of all our sins, that sin debt. I speak to some here who have never really believed in Jesus. You've heard the gospel umpteen times. You've been to church, you may be regular. But I say, dear friends, do you believe? We are here today to remember the Lord Jesus on his first day of resurrection in history. That greatest event, greater than the creation, the one event that makes, unfolds other great prophetic events. You say, what are you talking about? We say Jesus is coming. Now, if you don't believe Jesus is coming, is risen, how can he come? So it is very important we not only believe that Christ died for my sins, but also the third day he rose for my justification. This is part and parcel of the faith that makes your faith complete. Otherwise, you are believing in a dead Savior who died and never rose again. Verse 14. Afterward, he appeared to the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided, chided, scolded them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Oh, friends, thank God if you do believe, for none of us has seen Jesus personally. But it is all because of the message we heard preached from time to time, from this pulpit, from the reading of the Word of God. Pray that the Holy Spirit will help you truly to believe. For if you believe Jesus Christ died for your sins and rose from the dead for your justification, truly believe is going to change your life. That what is said afterwards will apply to you. What is it? Jesus says to us all, go ye therefore into all the world. Who says so? The risen Christ. As he was ascending to heaven, he left behind this instruction. Go ye therefore into all the world. Do we go anywhere? Do we go and tell the gospel, the message that Christ died for our sins and rose again for our justification? And this opens the way for two things. Very important. For if Christ had not risen, then how could he come from heaven again? This is the next important event that all of us look forward to. The Lord's return. I say this day is important because except Jesus rose from the dead, ascended to heaven, how can he return from heaven? And then, according to his promise, when he returns, the dead in Christ shall rise first. That is a tremendous promise. All of us who have any loved one that you are sorrowing for, on that day will rise up first, all because Jesus rose from the dead. Then we which are alive and remain shall be transformed, and together will be caught up together in the clouds of heaven. This is the gospel. Go ye therefore into all the world. That is my closing remark to all of you. If we believe that Christ died for us and is now in heaven doing just what he said, what did he say? In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. Who says so? Jesus. And what else did he say? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. All because Jesus rose from the dead. Are you looking forward to that day? Oh dear friends, make this Easter a special day. You promise the Lord you will be willing to go for him, willing to speak for him, for he has done so much for you. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, may the message this morning of how thou didst honor thy own Son to raise him from the dead and to glorify him today in heaven, where he is preparing to return. May your people be revived by this thought of Jesus coming again. O Lord, may thou preserve us in the most holy faith, that none here who names the name of Christ will ever doubt that he is coming again. And that until he comes, may thou keep us faithful and fervent, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, until we hear his well done. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.